Momentum Men is brought to you by ReUp, the creators of resources to disciple men like Jesus did, educating, encouraging, and empowering men to grow in Christ and disciple others. Featuring a platform filled with men's Bible studies for individuals or groups. Men, living by His life. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. ReUp, proud sponsor of Momentum Australia.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
God wants you connected with others. We know that it's not good for us to be alone, and that way we can grow in our faith and in ourself and in our mental and emotional health and start to bring our full self to bear. Because God's really interested in our healing and restoration. He's much more interested in us than we are. So He's very much on your side.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
Okay, well, welcome once again to Momentum. It is Tim and Des with you all around Australia, and really appreciate you spending some time with us as we get into another show, and trust that you're well. And you know what, that you're excited about this year, and you've got some things on your to-do list that you want to unpack and make that personally as well as professionally, because, you know, it's good to keep on growing and challenging ourselves and having other people challenge us as well. We'll get into that in just a moment. But let's bring in my good friend and co-host, Des. How are you this week, my Irish buddy?
Yeah, no, I'm really good. Really, really good. Yeah, enjoy what we get to do every week, and we're so blessed this week. It's going to be a great show. But just while we're talking, just want to remind you of our website, MomentumAustralia.org. Lots of feedback, lots of information, lots of podcasts. If you want to financially help us at Momentum, please do so via the website. That'd be really appreciated. And don't forget our care line, 1-800-000-MEN-636, provided by our good friends at Caroline Connections. You know, guys, so often we do a life alone. You know, we may have things we can't talk to our wives or our partners about. And so this Caroline really enables you to have a safe, confidential conversation 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., 1-800-000-MEN-636.
Yeah, awesome. And as Des has mentioned before, just quickly point to the YouTube channel too. Fairly new for us. We've only launched that in the last few months, but you can check out Momentum. You can watch us now and not just hear us. Momentum for Men, I think, is the YouTube channel. Yeah. You can go on YouTube and check us out. There's a link on the website too, momentumaustralia.org. I just want to come back a second though, and I just feel to say this, so go with it. You may be listening to Momentum. You've maybe listened for a while, but there's maybe something in your life that you've been carrying for a while that you just haven't overcome, you haven't dealt with. And I just want to encourage you this year, as Des was pointing to the Momentum care line, I just really got this sense to go, may this be the year that you deal with that thing that's a stumbling block for you. It's still in your life. You haven't dealt with, you haven't had the hard conversation. You've still got some sin in your life that you just can't unfree yourself from. Can I just encourage you, make this the year that you're intentional about getting rid of that? Or maybe you don't have good friends around you. Make this the year where you've got good friends in your life. Or maybe you really need to have a conversation with your wife. There's something in your marriage that's been hurting and there's some tension that you haven't dealt with. Make this the year that you deal with that.
Yeah.
And have that hard conversation. You and others will be better for it. And as Des bounced off the care line, 100%, that's why we got the care line in the first place, right, Des? To give you the opportunity to have a safe conversation. So I just feel to say that as we lead into the show. It's a bit of a tough way to start the show, but let's keep going. We've got Nick Marks back with us from AIFC. AIFC.com.au is their website. But we're back with Nick this week to continue our chat from last week on anxiety and the church. Nick, welcome back, mate. Thanks for coming back again for a second show.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, Tim and Des, and it's great to be with you guys today on this really important and very interesting topic as well.
Look, we covered a fair bit of ground last week, and we will point you again back to the show if you want to go and re-listen to that after this week's show, because it really set the scene for what we're about to talk about. But this sense of anxiety in the church, if we're going to church, sometimes we're a little, not confused, but surprised that there might be anxiety around going to church. And as you guys shared your stories last week, there was this sense for you not being in church and going into church for the first time, not knowing what to expect, what that was going to be like, natural to sense anxiety when it's an unknown. But then there's many people who are listening right now who've been in church for many years, and some right now who might be in a church and feeling anxious about going to that church every weekend. And so we're going to continue to explore and unpack why that might be. And some of the antidotes to that, Nick. And I suppose let's quickly just recap. You said one thing which I thought was really interesting, and it was the three Bs. Was it bums, buildings, and budgets?
Yes,
that kind of can sometimes, you know, get placed as important. And sometimes the people then can almost come second best to just getting bums on seats, getting a building and a roof over our heads, and getting the budget each week to make sure that we can keep everything running. And sometimes the people can come second best. And I know that's maybe not a flattering place to start, but let's start there, because there will be honest. There'll be people in churches that go, I feel like I'm not a priority, that these other things are more important than me.
Yeah. And we can all do this in our life individually, and therefore you can manifest that in a place like the church, as we talked about, where there's people. And we, people, are messy and have different priorities or past experiences or motivations or expectations on ourselves, which we may not have even just chosen to put and say, well, that's going to be my new top priority. They just kind of get there. Yeah. And that can be an example. I've experienced that myself in, you know, ministry in the last 10 years, and where, you know, the bums, buildings, and budgets, you know, sneaks its way, you know, in the side door, and all of a sudden, you know, sits at the top of the tree. And you may not actually say it, but you find yourself, you know, it will come out and it will be evidenced in some way. And so, as we said in our last show, it's not a criticism. It's more that it's an observation, and we can all do that to some degree. So if we're in, you know, leading a group or an organization or our families or a church, things that are not necessarily bad, but might be a second order priority, can find themselves getting to the top, and then they start to dominate, and people can see that that's a high priority, and that can be concerning because they can draw conclusions from that. But again, we don't necessarily make a conscious, self-aware decision to do that. It just kind of happened. And, you know, that there's impacts and effects of that.
There's two sides to the expectation, isn't there? There's an expectation that we put on ourselves that we have to live up to a certain level or behave in a certain way. And we talked in the last show, Tim, you mentioned those sort of things that we need to do in terms of the expectations on ourselves, and that creates anxiety. The other side of that, of course, is that we have an expectation of the church. We expect the church to be friendly. We expect the church to engage with me personally. We expect the worship to be what we want it to be. We expect it to help us change. We have all these expectations. The pastor's going to be friendly. You know, he's not going to yell at me, and whatever that looks like, right? And so those two dynamics are working side by side with people, especially people who are coming to the church, you know, for the first time or the first few times.
Yeah. And it's a great point, Des. And a lot of the time we don't know what those expectations are. So we can't, whether we even should meet them, we don't even have a chance to, because we don't know what they are. And that can particularly be the case in, say, a larger church, where you're not able to move necessarily in close quarters. If you've got a church of 1,000 people or 500 people or whatever, that makes it harder, because there's more people that you'll be interacting with that you don't know. And if you're pastoring, ministering a larger church, no doubt you'll grow your staff, but then as organizations and entities grow, it becomes harder to, you know, get an understanding of everything that's going on and stay across it. Actually, this is where Dunbar's number is quite interesting. He's the work that he's done, and I cannot think of the book right now, forgive me, but it's basically the distilling the theory down, is that we can really only know 150 people well, and we max out at that number. And so that has implications for all sorts of things in our life. You think, if you've got, you know, I've got 10,000 followers on social media, well, you don't really, you're not actually connected to them. We can only really be known by maximum 150 people. And within that, there's obviously degrees of connection from, we see that in Christ's life. You had the 3 and the 12 and the 72 and so forth. So it's relevant in the church, because the connectivity and the connections within the strength of those relationships is really important. And that speaks into, I think, Des, what you're referring to there with levels of expectations and what I'm coming with and what you're offering. And in that too, we can also adopt a consumer mindset.
Yes.
Where, you know, I'm coming along and sort of being a passenger and, you know, well, that didn't meet my expectations. This wasn't what I thought and that should have been better. And step by step, it can be quite easy to develop a critical spirit. So the size of, I think, churches matters. I'm not saying you should be small. I'm not saying you should be big. There's a whole variety and tapestry there. And it is a broad church, as the saying goes, but just being aware of those dynamics and how relationships work and flourish. Again, that's why you'll see most churches advocating the importance and the value of those smaller groups and meeting in smaller groups so you can do life together. And as we've talked about before, for guys, us having those band of brothers with us that we can do life with well, the level and strength of the connections and relationships in our lives is really important. And that, of course, goes for the church as well.
You mentioned there, Nick, about the size of the church. And I mean, for me, and I know Des and I met at a large church in Brisbane, you know, several thousand people. And you know, there's positives and negatives to each, right? So I mean, your larger church, you can kind of get lost in the crowd a little bit. Sometimes you don't necessarily feel as connected, but for some people, that's cool. Then, of course, you feel like you're a part of something much bigger, and that can be the trade-off. Then, of course, a smaller church, there's no way to really hide, so you can kind of get known really well, but then that can be a negative as well because then everybody knows your business and da-da-da-da. So, I mean, there's all of that, but let it's messy. So what I do want to bounce off that and say, though, I mean, whether you prefer a smaller or a larger congregation, I want to come back to this idea because I think this is really crucial for all of us to discern, right? And we did talk a bit about this last week. Whether it's a large or a healthy congregation, what would indicate that that's a healthy space as opposed to an unhealthy space? And I'm not talking about a perfect space, right? Because let's lower that expectation. It's never going to be perfect. But what would indicate that this is a healthy environment that I can step into it, and a safe environment, as opposed to something that is unhealthy and unsafe?
Whether it's a large or small church, it's really to the degree of, now I'm not necessarily straight away talking about the preaching of the word and worship and prayer and those key tenets of the ecclesia that are vital and we should investigate and know that all those are present. And we're talking about health in the context of anxiety and anxiety in the system. You know what? I think in my experience is whether I'm part of a smaller or larger church and I've been part of both, is either way, you're going to have to jump in at some point and you can go along as a passenger for a while, but you don't actually grow. And you can keep at a safe distance, but that can then become unhealthy. I don't think there's any shortcuts really of going, okay, I'm at a church of 7,000, but am I connected in with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 10 or 12 others whom I can do life with. That can be extremely healthy, and that is a good thing. And so if you're doing that, that's a good sign. If you're not connecting with anybody and you're really trying and you're just not getting anywhere, and over time, you know, that's happened in a repeated fashion, it may be that it's time to look elsewhere. But if you had a really good go at connecting, being vulnerable in a healthy, wise, and discerning way at leaning in to establish connection, build relationship, and even if you've had some bad experiences in the past, that's a really good thing to do. And then I just think, how do you observe and see that led from the front and in the context of the church and its day-to-day, week-to-week, over time? Not perfectly, as you said, because we want to love and pray for our pastors and ministers and church leaders and those in ministry, because they're doing a great job and they're doing their best and loving the Lord and serving imperfectly. And I think there's also that stage where you're at is where am I at in my faith journey? How long have I had a faith? Am I a seasoned believer? Am I serving and contributing versus consuming and receiving all the time? Understanding my own gifts and where am I able to apply those and bring them to bear for the benefit of the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters in the church and into the community at large? What's the flavor or the appetite or the footprint of that church into its community? does it have an expression within that church that really aligns with what you're very passionate and gifted about? And can you find your place there? I think they're important things to ask. And we can sometimes feel guilty, or I shouldn't say that or ask that. And you know what? You might ask a few questions that you know, hit the floor with a thud. That's okay. Mm. Versus staying at that safe distance and not engaging. Because let's be honest, when we don't engage and we don't lean in, we don't bring ourselves to bear, it's not just us who misses out, it's others who miss out on you. Mm. And you have got great gifts and a heart to offer, which people will benefit from.
That's a really good way to end the first part of the show. We're continuing our chat with Nick Marks on anxiety and the church. And we're going to take a short break and come back with part two of of this week's show with Nick. AIFC.com.au, AIFC.com.au is their website. I encourage you to check that out as we go to a short break. And MomentumAustralia.org, of course, is our website too. We'll come back with Nick and talk about anxiety in the church in part two of this week's Momentum. Stay tuned.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Okay, great to have you coming back for part two. It is Tim and Des with you for Momentum, and we've got our special guest, the CEO of AIFC, Nick Marks, with us. And it is our second show talking about anxiety in the church, and still a fair bit of ground to cover. So stay with us as we get into the second part of the show. Nick, I want to start with perhaps a different perspective of anxiety within the church, and something that perhaps we don't often think about. And this is a survey that was done last year, an Oxygen Christian Workers survey, and it's revealed alarming levels of loneliness, burnout, and mental health issues amongst Christian workers here in Australia. There was about 300 people responded to the survey, and it was across 14 denominations, 15 roles, discovered that assistant pastors, ministers were the least likely to have a close friend and the most likely to feel lonely, which is really interesting. And also a concerningly high percentage of respondents, 29%, that's about 3 in every 10, reported that they were or suspected that they might be experiencing mental health issues. And of course, we're talking about anxiety here as well. So let's throw that into the mix. That means that a lot of people that we look up to on a Sunday morning who are serving us from the platform or serving us in church actually are dealing with their own stuff. And let's be honest, when we walk into church on a Sunday morning, I don't ever give that really a thought, because I look at them, they look like they've got their lives together. He's coming to preach the word. I don't ever think that he or she might be having their own internal struggles. So I suppose, can you just speak into that space for us? Firstly, I suppose maybe let me ask you, is that surprising to you that there is quite a high percentage of people who are working in churches and the church environment that might be struggling with anxiety?
Yeah, look, it actually doesn't surprise me. And it's concerning, and it's very multifaceted, as we talked about. And it's something that it's, for example, the Oxygen survey, it's great that they did that and are leaning into that. And I think, as in our culture, we're becoming more aware. We don't want to be too overly aware, if I can put it that way, but we're becoming more aware of how people are doing in terms of their mental, and I would say emotional health is really important, as well as mental health, and particularly the role of a pastor minister. It's a tough job, and there's the expectations of the congregation working for the Lord and what we might think that means in our own minds, and the actual machinations and work of the job, if I could say that itself, can be very stressful. And if you add in loneliness and isolation to that, then that can be a really unhealthy mix of ingredients. We don't want that for our pastors. We want to. We all want to do whatever we can to support and love our pastors. But I think even just being aware of some of these dynamics, what the data is starting to say to us, is important. And it sounds almost trite, but it's so important, is to pray for our pastors and church leaders. Just so important. Pray for them. Pray over them. Intercede for them in prayer. You know, and ask them how they're doing.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly that. I mean, just go up to them after the service and say, man, how are you going? Great service, great message, you know, praying for you. It works wonders for our pastors.
And we all appreciate and you can tell if someone is genuinely saying, hey, how are you doing? Whether you say it or not, you think, wow, thank you. Thanks
yeah,
for asking.
That's right.
That goes a long way. And there's, so it doesn't surprise me. there's limits to what we can each do about that, but it's certainly expressing concern and love for them and praying for them, asking how they're doing. Other things in terms of speaking to the, you know, the pastors and ministers and church leaders themselves are important is those things that we've touched on before about who have I got speaking into my life and whose life am I speaking into? And have I got a band of brothers or sisters around me that I'm doing life with and can really confide in? Am I having fun at times? Am I smiling often and laughing? Is there some joy in what I'm doing? Because, you know, God's not pleased in us being a bright star and then burning out. He doesn't want that. And none of us want that for our pastors and ministers. And one thing that I would say, and I know that many pastors and ministers do this, but is engaging in supervision. And that's seeing a registered supervisor, someone who you can see from a, it's really can be like a mix of like a counseling, coaching, spiritual direction session, if you like, that can be rolled into one where you're able to share and confide in a very safe way. So if you're someone who's a pastor, minister, church leader in ministry out there and you don't have a supervisor, you know, look into that because I highly recommend it and it's very beneficial. And it's if you're a supervisor, it really pays to have an understanding of what we talked about today is how family systems works and how systems and anxiety and emotional process works in systems because pastors are dealing with this all the time as well as a myriad of other things. And so that's a really healthy thing to do because you can just talk about a scenario that you're facing or, you know, you might then to be able to start to say because one of the things about loneliness and isolation is you don't talk to anybody about how you're feeling lonely and isolated because you're lonely and isolated or so you think. So it starts to break some of that down and it lets others in and, you know, we can start to let God be God and we can relax.
I mean, I think that's great. And the truth is, right, and we've identified this generically as momentum and Des and I talk about this all the time. Loneliness and isolation is not a good place for any person to be, but men particularly, and we can tend to lean towards that. And particularly if we're, shall we say, higher up the hierarchy in church and we've still got stuff that we're struggling with, we have to be very careful with who we talk to about that stuff for obvious reasons. And so I suppose I just want to encourage pastors, if you're listening, but any man, depending on where you are, we all do need a safe space, which again is why the care line for you exists, 1-800-000-MEN, 636. Or, you know, there's Lifeline, Beyond Blue, other places if you need a safe, confidential conversation. Let's keep moving, Nick, and let's just turn the tables a little bit back to the congregation because, I mean, there's people listening right now who are in congregations. They're having a great time at church. That's fine. Invariably, there'll be something at some stage will crop up because we're humans and we're in an environment full of other imperfect humans too. So I suppose let's look at some of these antidotes, if you like, some of these ways that we can deal with anxiety if we're feeling that in church. Something's happened, you know, we don't know the scenario or whatever, but if we're feeling this sort of stuff within the church, we're feeling perhaps anxiety around going to church or seeing a particular person or somebody said something nasty to us once and they're still in the congregation and I just can't get past it. Like, how do we start processing and dealing some of this stuff so that we're not contributing to this sense of this stuff in church and congregation?
Yeah, look, it's a great question and it's an all too common scenario is where something's happened or there's a that's real or perceived or it really happened and we've increased the you know, we've amplified, we've dialed it right up. Particularly if it's going over and over in our mind and we're replaying it. You know, the story starts to bend and twist over time. And it can have a real effect on us. And so it's a great question to ask. It's real. It does happen to be happening in people's lives now. I would say, you know what, it's actually quite normal. And you read of this over and over in scripture of people's lives of, you know, in the Old and New Testament of people hitting a wall spiritually, emotionally, in their physical life, burning out, highly anxious, you know, running in the opposite direction from God, having all sorts of thoughts, just end me now, you know, in terms of some of the big names within the Bible all struggle with this. So we're all in very good company and we all will experience this from time to time. So normalizing that is important. I'm not the only one who experiences this. You're not the only one who experiences this. And we can draw some comfort from that. At a point in time, I think it's great to be able to talk to someone, whether it's a trusted friend, if you have a pastoral care team or function at your church, or even going to see a Christian counsellor. Now, of course, I'm going to declare a bias in that because that's what we do at AIFC. But, you know, you don't have to wait until something's blown up and on fire, as I've said before you go and talk to someone about it. It's easy to deal with it. Say, look, I'm just really going through this. And you'll most times you'll come out feeling a heck of a lot lighter just by getting it out. Whether or not there's clear solutions or not is another thing. That might come down the track, but you've started to let the light in, and we know that walking in the light is good and allowing others to bear our burden. Sometimes we do it out of a noble heart, and I just say, I don't want to, you know, they've got enough to deal with. I don't want to add to it. But, you know, we're actually called, and there's a commandment in there to, you know, bear one another's burdens, and others can't bear our burdens if we don't share them. If we're sharing them all the time, every day, and you know, we don't want to do that all the time. But you know, I think a number of us, particularly guys, are more guilty, if I can use that term, of not sharing them and not bearing, allowing others to bear our burden. So just taking that step is quite liberating. And you know, what you find is others say, yeah, look, I actually struggle with that too. And you know, that was actually only about a month ago. And you know, and you're like, oh wow, really? I didn't know that. And then you start to build camaraderie and bonds of fellowship and relationship, which makes us stronger. Like, you know, Solomon said, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Mm. And so those bonds, those cords can start to form, which, you know, they can hold us when, you know, when times are difficult and we need help. And again, as I said, our life doesn't have to be crumbling before we ask for help. And none of us get up in the morning wanting to blow up our life, but things happen. And sometimes they happen in the context in and around a church. And that then, as we've talked about, men, is that we have different expectations of what should or shouldn't happen. If it is within the confines of church, I would encourage, you know, and get some advice and counsel on this. But if at a point in time, having a chat with somebody about the situation or dynamic, what happened or what you're feeling or perceived to happen, that may or may not lead to resolution, but it's still taking a healthy step. And we always keep in mind, as we've said a number of times in these last few conversations, is it's messy. Where there's people, there's mess.
Yeah. Nick, I suppose an obvious question is then, if something's happening within my church, what's the best approach? And again, there's going to be a million different scenarios, but generically, is it a friend? Do I take it outside of the church and keep it outside the church? Do I go straight to leadership? Do I go straight to the pastoral care? Like, is it better to deal with it within the church? Or might there be a time where I need to diffuse it in my own self? So I go off and I go and unleash all of my internal stuff with a counselor offsite and then come back so I'm a bit more balanced when I do go approach leadership. I mean, again, there's a million different scenarios. It's not a black and white answer, but some thoughts around, if somebody's sat in the church right now and there's some stuff there, they're going like, I really feel like I need to speak to somebody. What is the best approach?
Yeah, look, 99 times out of 100, it's going to be something that's happened, you know, unintentionally and but still may be real and there's a hurt there. It does require discretion and discernment at the time. I can sort of only give my own counsel on this, is I think it's good to have a conversation with some other trusted friends and allies just to bounce that around in a very safe, trusted, confidential way, just to socialize that. Depending on the sensitivity and nature of it, you've got to be wise about that. If there's somebody, you know, their counsel might be, have a chat with them. If you feel that it's not a healthy or safe place to be able to do that, always, yes, use caution with that. If it's something that's just sticking with you and you're just carrying it and you can't offload it, I think it's good, as I said, to see somebody outside who you can just confidentially share it with and say, look, this is what kind of happened and dealt with. That combined with some, you know, water under the bridge over time will work out most situations. And there's always those caveats, isn't there, where something has happened that is quite acute, it needs attention either in the moment or soon thereafter. And you might want to then have a conversation with somebody within the church as well. They might be well relieved that you did. It might be that you have a third party there with you, just somebody to come along and just sit there. more often than not, it can be diffused and it's not as bad as we think, or you can resolve these things. But as you said, sometimes in some exceptional cases, that's not always, that can't always happen, as we said. But they are the minority of the cases that I've certainly found and observed and seen over time. Taking those baby steps in the first instance, you start to, you know, we start to get better at being able to invite others in. And I would just encourage anybody who's going through that now to start to do that in a safe and discerning way.
A final thought, Nick, and then we'll wrap up the show. People who are listening who've perhaps had a poor experience in the past and they've stepped away from church for a season, and they kind of go, oh, I'd like to maybe go back at some stage. I know it's good for me to be back and in community and in a space where I'm around like-minded people and da-da-da, but you know, I just haven't found that, or my last experience was so poor, I'm a little jaded, or I'm not sure about putting myself back in that environment. What would you say to those people listening right now?
That's a really great question. I would say that I'm sorry that happened, and for their sake, would love to see them reconnecting with their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the main thing of how they're doing that, is we've really, I think, had rich conversations around the importance of why that is needed and the benefits that it brings to our lives and others, because people are missing out on that person.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, that's a loss. That person is a loss in the sense of, you know, they're missed. But if they can start to reconnect is the first step, whatever that looks like. It might be just meeting with some other brothers in a cafe and go from there. And it might be that the next step or two steps after that is going back to, you know, back to the church or a church around the corner, wherever it might be. But it's the connection in the first place of doing life and knowing that God wants you connected with others. We know that it's not good for us to be alone. And that way we can grow in our faith and in ourself and in our mental and emotional health and start to bring our full self to bear. Because God's really interested in our healing and restoration. He's much more interested in us than we are. So he's very much on your side. Mm-hmm. He's on your side.
Yeah.
That's an important takeaway to remember, is he's so for you. It's not about you, but he's so for you.
Yes, that's right.
It's been a big couple of weeks. We've been talking about anxiety in the church with our special guest, the CEO of AAFC, Nick Marks. I'm going to point you to a couple of websites, so maybe jot these down, or if you don't get them, rewind and have another listen. AAFC.com.au is their main website. Off that, you'll find abound.org.au, which is a great opportunity to find a Christian counselor. Yeah. And also their great podcast, councilculture.org.au, which is always chock full of information and resources, as is our own website, MomentumAustralia.org. Nick, thanks so much for your time over the last few weeks, mate. It's been a very meaty, in-depth, sensitive conversation that we've tackled. And mate, we appreciate your voice in that space. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be able to speak into these things with you.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.